So, yeah, really good vibes here. Glad to be here. Thanks to the organizers. I'm going to talk about interactive music. And specifically, I want to talk about some cool projects that I've seen, that I've been a part of, and some cool possibilities in interactive music, and specifically, you know, how JS can facilitate that whole thing. So this is where music in the browser kind of starts. I mean, not really where it starts, but where it is now. Web Audio is an API supported across all of the major browsers now. Wrong slide. This is who I am. So I make software that makes music, and I make software that makes software that makes music. I'm the author of a web audio framework called Tone.js, and I compose and code some interactive music experiments. And I'm gonna just share some things and talk about what I've learned. So this is the slide, Web Audio. So Web Audio is a JavaScript API. It does low-level sound processing in the browser, gives you a high-level JavaScript API to deal with it. Supported on all of the major browsers and mobile devices. Underlying architecture is in C++. Some of it's even in assembly in C. It's very fast. And it does sampling, synthesis, effects, analysis, like FFT analysis. Stop me if I'm just speaking jargon and you guys don't understand something. Convolution, which is a really crazy thing where you can create like spatial, you can mimic a cathedral by sampling that cathedral. You can mimic a amp or a microphone or anything. It's usually reserved for like super high-end audio stuff, and we have it in the browser. It's pretty amazing. Sample accurate timing, which is like how you make music. You can't make music without good timing. So now you have all the makings of like a real computer music language, all in the browser, all shareable. And because it's JavaScript at the core, unlike other computer music languages, it is connected and interactive. This is a big one. So you touch it and it touches back. And so you can, you know, you guys know this stuff, like share things across the web, grab things from all over the web, connect people. The browser also, in terms of making music, in terms of like, you know, people participating gesturally with the page, there's so much that you can do, right? You got geolocation, accelerometer, camera, touch and mouse, microphone, just so many possibilities, hardware connection. So there's really a lot of interaction models to explore and a lot of kind of stuff that you can do with your users if you're into this kind of stuff. So I'll start with this one. This is like an thing that came out a few years ago. It's kind of on the spectrum of like instrument. Really beautiful. You bang on it with your... Play it. It's called Patatop by this guy, John O'Brandel. Uses the Web Audio API, uses a visual library called 2.js that he developed. And this is on the spectrum of like instrument-like things, right? The power that you're giving your user, your listener, is to jam on this instrument that you designed and created and made musical so that pretty much anything that they do is going to be fun to listen to. Here's another kind of example. I gotta go back here. Here's another kind of example. This is like a collaborative approach. Also Web Audio, same kind of idea that you're playing an instrument, but this one's very cool because you're playing with other people. So everyone kind of takes up a track on this instrument. You know, you sign in like a chat room and you get to jam with a bunch of strangers and make stuff that mostly sounds like this. So I was always kind of more interested in things that were more song than instrument, like things where the interaction was a lot more opinionated and sort of guided you through this thing. And I've been exploring that in a bunch of different iterations. So this one is something that I did a few years ago. It's called Richer. And the interaction is that you're filling this jar with coins, and as more coins get in the jar, more tracks get added to the song. So it's still kind of like a linear front-to-back song, but you can take many routes playing it. I'm just going to jump around in this song. So this is what the website looks like. And, you know, you drop a coin, you start to get some music. You can hear that piano part get louder and louder. You just jump ahead. Oh, and also the coins kind of disappear, like real money, from out from under you. So you're in this constant struggle of trying to add coins to like hear this song. Otherwise, you just end up with silence. And then at the end, the jar just flips over and it's all for nothing. Losing my mouse. There we go. So here's another experiment that I did, actually before the other one. This is the same kind of thing. Like, I was trying to explore really giving people very few dimensions of interaction, but trying to be as expressive as possible, like empower people to make good music through this kind of interaction. So it's still very much on rails, but you are piloting this rocket ship. I don't have a video of this one, but I'm pretty sure that the website still works. You're piloting a rocket ship, and kind of how fast you're going is the energy level of the music. So like, you go really slow, you know, and the stars are kind of like coming at you like an old school screensaver, and the song is like really kind of laid back and slow, and then as you go faster and faster, all of these tracks are interpolated and like cross-faded until you end up with this like really dancey tune at the top. You know, again, I'm going for like a simple interaction that players can be kind of expressive with. The goal is to make people feel powerful and not confused, right? Like a lot of music stuff, people get a little turned off because they're like, oh, well, I'm not a musician. I can't do this. I can't make music. You know, like I don't understand. It takes education and training and all this kind of stuff that I don't have. But I want to create exactly the opposite effect. So, like, hey, I can do this. This was fun. I made this song, or I was a part of this song. I contributed to it in an interesting way and made it my own. So part of that is, I think, giving people the power to screw it up, which is, like, not as a music creator, like, not what you want to give people. Like, hey, here's a song that I made, and here's all the vocal takes that I took out. Listen to them. Like, you want it to always be good, and you want to have like very fine control, but this is very much like the opposite. Like, give people the ability to make it bad if they want it, because that's how you know that you're in charge, you know? Give them something that's like expressive and meaningful. Like, don't give them the orchestra and then hand them like a triangle. Okay, you're playing the triangle part. Like, have fun. You get to hear this whole orchestra, but you don't get to do anything. I mean, sorry about triangle players. It's a very important role, but it's like not the instrument that you want to be handed. You want to be the conductor. So this is kind of exploring different interaction models. This is another kind of interaction model that I was exploring. This is like a game interaction where you make music, and the solution to the puzzle is like this beat that gets generated over, and like a song points. This is like a video that I remixed. But this is basically the game in a fast-forwarded version. So you want to like bounce these loops off the walls, but avoid colliding with each other. So over all of this, making a bunch of these experiments, I was like writing the same kind of web audio code over and over again. You guys sure know what it's like. And you know, it was things like shimming, that's like typical, especially for early APIs before they get sort of normalized across all the browsers. Then there's also like things that I needed to encapsulate over and over again, you know, like loading XHR, you know, MP3s and this kind of stuff. And then just some things that the API doesn't provide at all, but I needed to make music with it, like converting pitches to frequencies, right? The API doesn't understand what a C is. Converting things from like musical time, you know, this is a beat and a bar, to what it wants, which is seconds. And then like, yeah, timing in general. Like the library gives you sample accurate scheduling, but it doesn't give you a JavaScript-y way to interact with it. So this is the kind of stuff that I was building. And I had, you know, the thought that a lot of foolhardy programmers have, which is, I'll just make a library, and that'll make my life easier. Writing a library does not make your life easier. I mean, it's been extremely gratifying. And I've been working on this Tone.js for 2 years. It's now in its sixth release. I got a whole number of releases because I didn't want to have like Zenon's paradox of always approaching one and never arriving there. So I just started with one. It's all on GitHub. What it does is it's a framework for making interactive music in the browser. It gives you all of the things that you need, or hopefully it gives you all of the things that you need to arrange and synthesize and sequence entire songs in the browser. So building on top of what the Web Audio API gives you, but much more geared towards musicians, right? The Web Audio API is trying to satisfy a whole bunch of people because it's for everyone, like game developers and audio plugin people and instrument makers and people who want to make like digital audio workstations in the browser. Not really sure they had my goals in mind. So obviously the API is geared towards programmers, right? Application programming interface. But I want to target musicians who also knew some programming. So I wanted to make something that could kind of express musical ideas through code. So as I said, like it doesn't, you know, you can speak in terms of like C4, you know, G-sharp 8, beats and bars, eighth note, you know, things like that. And also in kind of a JavaScript-y way, where you don't feel like you're writing like the underlying C code, actually. So this is what a little snippet of Tone.js looks like. So the top line, I make a synthesizer, and I connect it to the master output, which is your speakers. And then I set up a callback, which is going to loop over those notes in that array, and just trigger the synth on each of those notes. You can see that I trigger the attack and the release. So like that's like press the key, release the key, and hold it down for an eighth note, and then release it. And JavaScript timing is super wonky, like not guaranteed, definitely not sample accurate, right? A sample is 44,000 times a second, so very precise timing that JavaScript doesn't really have, the underlying API has. So I set up these kind of like loose callbacks with JavaScript timing, request animation frame, and then I pass in the exact precise time to schedule the event. So you get this callback, so it's kind of like you don't need to schedule everything in advance, which is especially useful for like interaction, right? You don't know everything in advance. So that's kind of like the JavaScript-y wrapper on the Web Audio API. Also, like synthesis, there's a lot, and effects, there's a lot of parameters to deal with. So my approach was to give like sort of JSON descriptions of all of this stuff, and it was nested, right? You can imagine like, this is a basic synthesizer, you would be like synth.oscillator.type, and then you end up with a lot of dots, like FM synthesis, which is multiple oscillators, it would be like fm.carrier.envelope.attack=9. So JSON is a really great way to encapsulate all of that and like pass it in a readable way. And you can use it in the constructor or in like a set method. And then also building off of that, I thought I can make a bunch of presets and share them with people and have other people upload presets and have this be a sort of like sound design starting point for a lot of people who don't maybe understand all of these parameters, like, but who, if they were in front of a keyboard, would just like hit next or explore all of the presets. So I made a repo off the project, which was all of these kind of parameters, and you can pick your instrument that you want to see the parameters for, and you can explore some parameters, connect it to an effect, play this little, you know, CSS keyboard up at the top. And it, you know, just as a starting point for sound design or you know, ideas. If any of you guys are into this, I would love pull requests. Right now, all of the presets are my own. So I'd love if it was like a resource for people, you know, making sound, finding interesting sounds online. So some things that I've made with Tone.js. 6 months ago, I made this song with a longtime collaborator, Sarah Rothberg, called Jazz Computer. And again, the goal here was to give as much control as possible with the simplest possible interface. So the song is kind of like about social media feeds, and the interaction was all scrolling. And now that I have this library, unlike the other songs that I did, I could do everything live in the browser. I didn't need to rely on samples. I could synthesize everything live. I could affect everything live. And that also meant that I could change everything live, or rather the user could change everything live. So everything, including the tempo, the chords that you're playing, the parameters of the synthesizer, everything's changeable, and all you're doing is just scrolling up or down. This is the URL. Other people have also made stuff, which is the cool part about putting something open source online. So this is an album that was released, I think, about a month ago, which had this whole interactive component to it. You move these pointy balloon things, and you move between these different phases of the song or of the album. And you can affect, you know, different parameters. You can sort of like play along little synth riffs. You can fade drums in and out. Again, you have like really a lot of expressive control, and it's really beautiful, and the music is really beautiful. So I encourage you guys to check this one out. So one exciting thing for me about why music in the browser, other than I'm excited about enabling people to make music, is that for music creators, the browser is an awesome medium because it's both a means of production and distribution, right? You can, like those websites that I showed you, they produce the sound live, and they're also a method of distribution. So I just pass someone a URL, and then they're on my song, right? As opposed to like the rest of the history of software that makes music, which is like download, install, maybe restart your computer. This is like a seamless way of distribution. Plus, it's also how most of us listen to music in the first place. I watch YouTube videos for most of my music, or Spotify. So another awesome win for web audio and browser music. So I also wanted to bring up interactive music videos. This one is Happy by Pharrell. Arcade Fire has made a bunch of awesome ones. Bob Dylan recently made one. A bunch of people are doing these things, and I think that they're incredibly awesome and obviously another super cool application of the technology. But what about the music? That's my question. So I would love to see more interaction with the music. You know, like give me something to play with where I can be a part of this. Because, you know, it's great. You have an experience which is going to be different every time. You feel personally invested in the thing. You have a deeper level of engagement with it. So all really cool things. So what now? So many next steps that I'd love to do and to play with and to see other people do. You know, the Web Audio API is getting pretty mature at this point, and Tone.js is getting kind of mature. And there's a bunch of other web audio libraries out there to play with. So I just made a short list of things that I thought would be cool, and maybe we'll inspire you, or maybe, we'll work on them together. So live coding, this is something that I've gotten into, which is like programming as performance, where you make music in front of people by coding it live, and JavaScript is really nice for that because, like, you know, it doesn't crash when you have an error, generally. You know, it's all live interpreted, so you can like literally execute every line of code, and you don't need a recompile or any of this kind of stuff. All kinds of other awesome things that are possible, like having concerts live with a group of people, right? Everyone's got a cell phone here. Here's a concert where everyone's holding up their cell phone. Like, let people engage with the music, with the visuals, in a distributed way. So there's a lot of possibilities here. And also, don't make them stare at their phone. I think that's the other part. Use the accelerometer, use the light or something. There's a lot of challenges here. I think like precise musical timing is difficult with a distributed system over Wi-Fi or over a cell tower. Also getting people to avoid staring at their phone. How do we do it? Not exactly sure. There's a lot of challenges in there, but I'm pretty sure that WebAudio will be a big part of that, because logging onto a browser is so much more cross-platform and easy than downloading an app. Network performance, so kind of similar, but like doesn't need to be with a group of people, right? Kind of like Plink, but maybe there's a single performer and people are interacting with that, or maybe it's a group of people jamming in the same room where it's not just so noodly, like, but more geared towards something, has more direction. And yeah, so what I'm just trying to say is that here's a cool technology, here's a ton of possibilities, here's a library that I made that hopefully makes it a little easier, and go out and make some sound, and don't be afraid. I mean, like, probably anything that you'll do, you'll be the first person who's done that, and that's exciting. So yeah, really a ton of possibilities, and that's the end of my speaking, so thank you.